Hi, and welcome to the Breadwinner Podcast. I'm Niels Brian Lowe, and each episode, I talk to a guest about how they're maximizing value from investments in technology like Salesforce and NetSuite. Yep, I know, a podcast about CRM and accounting software integration sounds dreadful. But Breadwinner is out talking to customers, to partners, and to technical folks every day about this stuff. Breadwinner are constantly amazed by the business value that's being unleashed in this space. So we've recorded some of those conversations to share here. Full disclosure, this podcast is brought to you by Breadwinner, who provide products that integrate Salesforce with ERP platforms, accounting systems, and payment providers. But the purpose of this podcast isn't to sell products. If you'd like to know more, head over to breadwinner.com. Otherwise, do just join us for today's conversation. I'm delighted to be joined today by Amy Look, the RevOps lead at RouteThis. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, look, first of all, tell us about RouteThis and tell us about your role there leading the RevOps teams.
Yeah. So RouteThis is a scale-up. It's based near Toronto, Canada, and it has developed a platform that enables internet service providers to deploy and support exceptional connectivity experiences in their homes. I joined RouteThis about a year and a half ago to build out the revenue operations function. And my role and my team's roles is to be responsible for streamlining go-to-market tools, the business processes, and the data analytics.
And does that cover everything from lead to opportunity to marketing to is it the full RevOps stack?
It's the full RevOps track. It's everything from streamlining everything from marketing to sales to finance to legal to engineering, everything.
Wow! And do you have a big team? Is it a big team if you're doing that, or is it a slim team? What kind of shape of team have you got?
Slim team. We are, because it is a startup and we just finished Series A funding. Mm-hmm. So it's just a team of two right now. And we do have an individual in marketing that is working on marketing operations separately.
Wow. So, I mean, I assume you've got to get a lot done with relatively few people. So I assume you're reliant on the technology to get to achieve the things you want to achieve. I mean, I guess my big overarching question for you is, you know, what are the big themes you see in the RevOps space generally? You know, what are the big changes? What are the burning issues? Clearly, getting more done with less must be one of them. But what else are you seeing out there in the market?
I'm seeing a big focus on data, on the quality of data that is required for people to do their jobs. I think more than technology, actually, I would say that the focus has been more on efficiency because we only have two individuals. Then streamlining tools is part of the process, but companies seem to be focused on getting easy access with fewer tools. And so they want to be able to make those informed decisions quite quickly without having to log into several different tools in order to do so. What I think is really important for at least for my team is that we understand what tools are on the market, how well they integrate with a CRM of choice, and how the data is consolidated, whether it be consolidation, enriched, cleansed, or simply just how it's like data is passed back and forth between the tools. And I've also found that because I've worked mostly in scale-ups over time, that a big feature or thing that they look out for with operations team members is looking to consolidate. So when it gets bought out by another company, you'll find that there's a lot of switching of CRMs from Zoho to HubSpot to Salesforce, the whole shebang. So when you get multiple companies being purchased, the process of consolidating CRMs is actually top priority in the process of making sure that everybody is aligned. And for that component, when you're doing any kind of data migration, then careful planning considerations are required, especially around how the data is migrated, so that forecasting, budgeting, just resource planning is not interrupted by the fact that we have three CRMs on the go.
What are you using as a core CRM at RouteThis at the moment?
Salesforce. When I first joined, they were in the process actually of migrating from HubSpot to Salesforce. And so, it was crucial, at least from my angle, to understand how they had built their HubSpot, but also what had been moved over in Salesforce. And then working from that to figure out what needed to remain and what portions we could slowly migrate team members off of HubSpot into Salesforce more seamlessly.
I mean, it's a fascinating point you make there, that it's really the data is at the core of it. The tooling with which you house and manage and maintain and integrate that data is almost secondary to the data and the data structure and the data quality. It's a sort of fascinating point about that being really at the core of everybody's enterprise is the data and the proximity to the customer. Everything else is really a tooling issue rather than the end in itself.
Yeah, I mean, the efficiency is amazing when it comes to tooling, but I find that because ultimately, executives and board members, they really want to know how to make decisions that are going to impact the company's profitability in the next couple of quarters, months, years. And so that ultimately seems to be the core of what drives the CRM success and how well it's being driven. I find that when the CRM is being maintain it's top down, when the executives are supporting the value that the CRM is bringing, then you end up having more individuals and more team members working out of it and streamlining that data and making sure that one source of truth becomes reliable. Whereas if it's not supported by the board members and by the executives who need to utilize it, then it becomes a mess. So I think that's why it ends up becoming the data becomes the ultimate goal, and how well you're able to report and forecast out of it becomes crucial.
That's incredible insight there. I think it's so true for many organizations. When I was researching this podcast with you, I noticed that you'd had historical experience in your career in biz ops, in sales ops, in rev ops. I was just wondering whether you feel like these are independent business domains in their own right these days, or whether it all now in the modern world just gets wrapped inside a sort of rev ops type umbrella.
I find that I found that the naming convention for the type of work that we do, because it's such a new stream and such a new department, it tends to be alternated in terms of naming. I've personally found that operations team members tend to do better or they tend to be more successful when reporting into a singular team member who is managing a shared services function of the company, just because when I have reported directly into sales or I've reported directly into marketing, the priorities of that specific executive tend to override how the company's priorities and the overall success of the company. And so right now, I wrote this, I report into finance, and I found that to be the best option throughout in my experience, because with finance, they're driving the overall profitability of the company. So when we're looking at where the gaps are in the process, we're looking at how maybe it could be customer success in one quarter that we give all of our love to. And then another quarter, it's going to be marketing. And another quarter, it might be sales. And all of that comes together to have it become a seamless function, because you're looking at it from end to end for everybody's experience and not just for that one function.
No, that's fascinating. That's kind of being able to report into finance and sit above the individual functional domains is kind of probably where the power sits. And I guess in the modern day, CFOs are becoming more powerful generally in most organizations. You know, as times are tougher, CFOs tend to win more power, and CEOs tend to decline in power. And during boom times, that shifts.
It's true. I have found the same as well. I do find that a lot of the time too, especially because finance can drive the budgets, then it also allows for you immediately know the resourcing. You immediately know what's coming in what becomes a priority much sooner than you would if you were reporting into another function. So I found that to be the most successful I've found the operations teams.
That's a great insight. And I mean, you know, in RevOps, just generally, when you're trying to connect customer edge technologies, and I'll put Salesforce in that bucket, you know, that's the stuff that lives out on the customer edge with the back office, your ERP, your finance, that kind of stuff. You know, what are the big challenges you see when companies, your own company at the moment being one of them, make that kind of connection and start binding those two things together? What do you see as the big challenges to overcome in that space?
I think that CRM data doesn't always easily map with ERP platforms. I think there's a lot of work that comes behind the scenes when you're working with ERPs. They take information a certain way. So they have certain field names, they have certain functions that are already built out of the box with, like, for example, NetSuite. And Salesforce also has certain functions and features that are very out of the box and that are customized a certain way. So I think there has to be a standardization of field definitions, field naming conventions, so that when you're referencing both platforms, you're seeing the same things, but you're also understanding it in the same ways. But also in the same ways, in that there's also the middleware component, where these ERPs and CRMs don't always seem to match really well to each other or map well. So then you have to consider Soligo or Zapier or other things. So data transformation can be part of that process as well. I find that with ERPs, if you've been working out of them too, like separately for a while, which initially tends to be it happens as a function of being a startup or even working into a company that has a little bit, is in like 100 employees or even 100 to 500 employees, is that you're going to work individually separately. And then at some point, you're going to have to start cleaning up old, outdated customers, billing information. All of that has to be aligned so that you can integrate the two. So the cleanup component is incredibly important when looking into integration. And then the final thing I would say is that what triggers a finance function or like a finance action seems to also be something to consider. With new businesses or like my company, for example, we have new business opportunities. We have renewals. We have expansions and upsells, contractions, churn, just like most companies, right? But I think the challenge there is that salespeople want to put all of that into one contract. They're like, we want to have everything in one shot. And you could use CPQ to help with that process. But you know, if you're working in a smaller company, you might not get to the point yet where you're operating out of CPQ. So then finance wants to be able to isolate and be able to be like, that this amount of money is associated with an expansion. This amount of money is how much we got last year and we're expecting to get in revenue this year. And so that component of being able to isolate between how sales wants to sell the product versus how finance needs it to be recorded can be incredibly challenging, actually, as well.
That's beautifully articulated, that kind of that distinction between the atomization of functional revenue on the general ledger on the ERP system versus the customer edge, which is, you know, give the customer the holistic piece of information they want to know about their relationship with you as a company. For example, a unified invoice or a unified bill of lading or whatever it is, you know, there's a disjunct between those two sort of functional requirements, as it were.
There's also like a disjunct too, I think, in terms of like if changes are made. I think it's so easy to make a change in a contract, and at the same time, it could be that whatever your tool is, whether it be DocuSign, PandaDoc, HudaSign, whatnot, they might write back to Salesforce. Sometimes it doesn't. So then in that case, you can make the change to the contract and not make the change in Salesforce, but you could also make the change in Salesforce and not notify finance, but the ERP locks it. Like once you've signed that contract and it's the period is completed, the record is locked. You can unlock it, but I think like at previous companies that I've worked for, the solution around that has been having like a revenue operations individual work with finance. And so should they need an opportunity to be updated, they actually have to go, sales reps have to go to revenue operations. And then that way finance is kept in the loop of any kind of changes.
Yep, that's certainly something I've seen time and time again. And you know, so sometimes the person in the loop is the integration answer, but it's not always the most scalable one, unfortunately.
I think whenever you're doing any integration, whether it be like with the ERP or even if it's just even an integration with like SalesLoft or Gong or whatnot, you're always going to have to make certain accommodations with each tool. So I think that's why the fewer tools that you have, the less accommodations that you you need to have, like, because then you'll have a whole bunch of fields that overlap with each other. And so my manager is generally a fan of actually consolidating all into Salesforce if possible, so that we just have less tools to manage in that sense.
Certainly, a piece of research that we quite often reference in our literature when we're talking to customers is this notion that customers spend like 33% more than they should on SaaS software, and that has two implications. One, they spend too much money on software, whatever, you know, that's just a shame. But actually, the knock-on effect of that is much bigger, because having more systems than you need, more wonderful SaaS products, but all, you know, badly integrated or in some big soup of things, just causes problems you don't even know are out there. So it's the 32% overspend is actually rather a small part of the problem. The problem is the complexity, the bowl of spaghetti that you create as a result of it.
I think you also have to, I think when it comes to that kind of thing as well, it's also sometimes companies try to solve problems by immediately buying tools or they hire more people instead of looking at the efficiency and the process, which does take a little bit more time. I will say, trying to get alignment on the process and what the clear definitions are across different teams, that generally takes more conversations and more open communication than buying a tool does. But then in the long run, you end up saving so much in terms of resources and in terms of time and people.
Yep, definitely. And just to close out here, I mean, what's the one piece of advice that, you know, the best piece of advice you've had in your career, or what would the one thing you'd want to want to share with somebody who was starting out in the RevOps space? What would be the advice that you'd pass on, or the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received is probably to partner and form a trusting relationship with the individuals that you're working with, especially in revenue operations, because you're working with every single department in the company. It's incredibly important to know who your stakeholders are, who your decision makers are, who are the individuals that want to be notified of different changes, and how do they want to be notified of those changes. I think it helps to build trust, and it also helps you become like involved in the conversation early on in terms of what they're planning on doing for their team and what kind of things that they need from you to support them. Even like if they're interested in purchasing a tool, for example, them reaching out to you and being part of that evaluation process is incredibly helpful, because then it allows them to see like, oh, this is what's available if I'm using Salesforce with this tool, but it might not be available with another tool. And we can provide that feedback and be part of that, part of the solution that they're looking for in gaining efficiency for their own teams.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your advice there. And thank you for sharing your observations of the industry and what's going on in RevOps generally. Really appreciate you taking the time. That was Amy Look, the RevOps lead at RouteThis. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. And for the audience, please do join us for the next edition of the Breadwinner Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Amy.